10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's going on out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, and today we got another great show planned for you, The Art of Love Making. That's right. We're talking about The Art of Love Making. I'm sure some of y'all ready for that conversation. That's for sure. Yeah, we know most of you think love making has to do with banging heads on the headboard and all that, but there's more than love making than that. Yes, it is. There's the romance. There's the intimacy. There's the languages of love. And that's where all we're going to be. We're going to get into all that today. And if we have to go day two, we're going to do a day two. But we're going to get into this in a little bit, so I hope y'all ready. But before I go any further, let me give you the directions you want to be a part of the show today. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or join me in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you just log into your whatever social media site you're using, and bam, boom, boom, bam. You in the chat room having a conversation with the crew. All right. Now, before I go any further, though, of course, I have to bring in my second in command, the one with the super, super intelligence, the beautiful, courageous, vivacious Sister Ngoni. Hey, Sister Ngoni.
Greetings, Mr.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. There it is. All right.
And how about you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. If I wasn't, there was no need of complaining anyway, right?
Nobody wants to hear. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think I went through that yesterday. I explained all that yesterday. So, it is what it is. Oh, but anyway.
I'm very excited about the topic that you chose today.
Yeah, I'm sort of excited about that myself, to see where it's going to go. But, I have my ideas of where I want it to go, so we're going to have to keep a close tab on that part of it, too. And I see we already got Pianki in the chat room, so that means trouble is coming. The storms. Oh, Lord. But, so we are ready. We are ready. So you got any early comments on the topic?
No, I think I'll just wait until we get the conversation started and flow from there.
All righty then. Well, if that's the case, then we'll go ahead and get on with the get on, as they say back in the day. And we're going to go ahead and knock out the Mama Bear Tuesday mix, and I think it's a good one. Some of y'all going to recognize these songs, some of you may not, but it's there. It's a good one, and we're going to shake our head a little bit. So without further ado, here it is, y'all, the Mama Bear Tuesday mix.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, that was your Mama Bear Tuesday mix. We had a little Brothers Johnson, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and, of course, Frankie Beverly and Maze. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah, now, see, that puts you in a good spirit. That's all I got to say. If you wasn't already, you know, ooh, excuse me, you know what you mean? You know what you mean? What about
it? Talk. That was nice. Upbeat, real nice.
Oh, why, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was. Now, I'm telling
and
you, tomorrow we, huh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say tomorrow we going to party. It's just that simple. But what were you about to say?
Oh, I was glad to hear you say Beverly Mays because I couldn't remember who that voice was, but it was, you know, I knew the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice,
okay.
Nice music.
Well, thank you, thank you. You know, we try. And I want to give a shout-out to, let's see, Bible, Truth by Benny, Cloud Nation Radio, Guest 1873, Michelle, Knowledge, and Pianki, everybody in the chat room. And, of course, on the lines, we got Wesley, and we got Mama Bear out there listening as well. So, hey, they are coming. They're coming.
Good, Mr. Talk. I would also like to send greetings out to everyone joining us today. Welcome.
Welcome. And, you know, or should I say, they're here.
The family's here.
Yeah, the family's here. Oh, well. All right, Cloud. Well, stay as long as you can. We appreciate your support, man. All right. So, now, that's the song of the day was gone. It's now time for the quote of the day. The quote of the day. Oh, shut up, Pianki. Anyway, here we go. The quote of the day is as follows. All
you have to
couples,
give your drum roll.
Oh, no, I don't need the drum roll. You like the drum roll. All right, here it is. The quote of the day. Dun, 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 dun. All couples should learn the art of battle, as they should learn the art of love, of making love. Good battle is objective and honest, never vicious or cruel. Good battle is healthy and constructive, and brings to a relationship the principles of equal partnership. And that's by Ann Landers. And that is your quote for the day. Woo! Now,
that's a profound one, Mr. Talk.
Oh, that's a. I'm telling you, that is deep. That is. Yeah, but you know, we talked earlier about this, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and give your explanation of that quote.
Oh, don't
right there.
Do me like that. This is your baby. I'll follow your lead on that one.
Oh, you gonna follow my lead? Well, you
yes.
know. Well, you know. Don't do me.
Come
like
on,
that,
we can do it together.
Okay, let's do it together then. All right. Let's see. All couples should learn the art of battle as they should learn the art of making love. Now, some people say, how do both of those go together? You know, how do they go together? You talking about battle, and the next moment you talking about making love. How the heck do those go together?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. How
mm-hmm.
about even in battle, just as making love, you have to know who you're dealing with. I know, is that a right way of saying that? Yes, that is the right way.
Well,
you know?
It's important to know who you're dealing with, that's for sure. But I have a problem with the idea of battle.
Why? Battle? You have a problem with it?
Yeah, I do. You know
why?
Because why can't we spend our time not being in battle? It seems to be a very difficult thing for most people to do, including myself. However, why do we have to be in battle when we can create heaven?
Oh, now see, we can create. Here go Pianki. Anyway, if now, you know, you know, when you talk about love, number one, you know, love is one of those, it's a wild and woolly ride sometimes. Just like battle. When you go into battle, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to come your way. You know, you can do all the research and planning you want to, but you never know what's going to come your way. So you have to be prepared. And the same with love making, you know, you have to be prepared. You know, you just got to know what's coming your way or what you need to do to be successful.
Well, so, I don't think go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I kind of believe that the strategy that you use for battle can also be used for love making, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, to be successful in battle, as the quote says, you have to be objective and honest, right?
Well, once again, I think we shouldn't go too swiftly before we define things, because, you know, love differently.
Oh.
I think we're going to have to go there, don't you think?
Well.
What kind of love are you talking about, Mr. Talk?
Huh?
What kind of love are you talking about?
Oh, well, I'm not talking about the brotherly type of love. I'm talking about the love, you know, the romantical type of love.
All right. Now, there you go.
I mean, you know, when we say making love, I think that's kind of what is, you know, assumed. But I guess you're right. Sometimes we do need to clarify exactly what we're talking about.
Because assumptions are very dangerous things. They are indeed.
Well, see, that goes back to the battle. You know, if you assume you're going to win a battle just by showing up, then that's a dangerous thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. That's
yeah.
right.
So the same can be said for love and love making. You know, you just can't go in saying, I'm here and I'm bringing out love and everybody's going to be happy with that. Because
Absolutely.
That's not the case.
Right. But you shouldn't be bringing anything. You see?
You shouldn't be bringing anything?
Mm-mm. Everything you need, you already have. It should be flowing out of you.
But if you say that, then you have to say, what do you bring to the table then? You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that depends. That depends.
Ah, but see,
if everybody comes bringing love, you know, then instead of, articles of negotiation and battles, then that wouldn't be an issue.
That wouldn't you?
Pardon?
See, you say that wouldn't be an issue?
No, it wouldn't. Because, again, I said, we would be creating, instead of battles, we would be creating paradise.
Well, sometimes, don't you think, sometimes out of battles, paradise is created?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps. In some cases, yes.
Okay, well, you're a soldier, you know. I'm looking at it from a different angle here.
I mean, you know, most time when you say you're going into battle with someone, you know, what you're saying, you're in battle trying to make them look, you know, make things better. So, listen to you.
No. The only thing we need to be trying to make better is ourselves. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the only battle I should be in, is, you know. You got to be in battle with somebody else, you're in the wrong spot.
Well, you know, come on now. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, is a good read. Well, we know this, Cloud Nation, and we're going to get to that.
All right.
You know, but I'm sorry, I'm kind of trying to multitask here. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they kind of do go hand in hand.
I mean, it's just a different perspective, and I want to hear yours. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, regardless, everybody who goes into battle, usually they say, well, I'm trying to make things better.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say, and a whole lot of bodies will be floating around everywhere after they get through.
Well, let's be honest.
And hard.
You know, in this thing called love, a lot of times you have to leave a lot of bodies laying around before you get to the right one.
Like they say, you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. That
there
kind of thing.
There it is. Yeah, uh-huh. That's it right there. Yep, that's it. That is it. So, you know, that's what I got to say.
All right.
you know, I'm just saying. But, you know, but when it comes to love making, you know.
I think love makes affirming yourself, affirming others. It's easier said than done.
Well, yeah. But see, here's the thing. You know, there is an actual art to love making. There's an art to it. Because most individuals, you say love making, and the first thing they think about is, like I said before, banging your head on headboards and
was funny.
Yeah, you know, turning over couches and things like that, getting your freak on. But it's more than just that. You know, that's, I guess you can say that is the final step of it. That is the finality of it. But, you know, before you get there, there's other things that we need to talk about and work in there, such as, you know, the romantic part, or as I like to say, the courting, you know, the courting. You don't hear that. Or as some of the old folk would say, the wooing. You know, you have to woo a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. You got to talk about the sensuality of it, and, you know, and the sexuality of it. See, because a lot of people get those two confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you can talk sensuality. See, I done got excited now. Sensuality and sexuality, although they can be used in the same context, they're really not the same thing. You know, because you can have one without the other. You really can.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
But like you said, that part is the dessert, you see, like, you know, indicated before. There's so much more that has to happen before you get there.
That is true. That is true. And you know what? Since it's just me and you now, right now. So, being that you are such a intelligent, bright, good-looking woman.
Oh, flattery everywhere. Just keep it up. More, more, more. Go ahead.
More, more, more. Okay. So here it is. Here's the question. So when you think of sensuality, okay, mm-hmm. what is it that you think of?
Oh, sensuality, sentient beings. I mean, you know, it encompasses so much. Being sensual is being alive and knowing that life is all around you and being able to feel. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, sometimes you can live your life without feelings.
Mm.
You know, you just...
Without feelings?
Sure, without feeling deeply, you see. So when you're being sentient, you're alive, you're full of life. You have gratitude for being in life to the point that you stop to notice nature all around you and the beauty that surrounds you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking out my window now at a forest, and I often see deer. So I can't stay down very long. There's too much beauty. I'm blessed too deeply.
Outstanding. So
yeah.
So when you start speaking of... when you start speaking of sensuality, then basically what you're talking about is enhancing your main senses. You know, just your vision, your hearing, your touch. You know,
even
your taste and smell.
Being intuitive, you know, being into life, not just going through the motions.
Not just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You it's like you coming in and out sometimes, but it's okay. We have to get out. Okay. So, if that's the case, then how do we move that into how do we take that right there, the enhancement of your five senses, how do we take and equate that to actual relationship and the art of love making?
Well, I think it has to do with being present in the now and not being in your head in the past or the future, which doesn't exist. Well, yeah, and I think being able to be in the present moment in any capacity of your life, especially lovemaking, you know, I mean, you want to be there, not wishing you were somewhere else with somebody else, right?
Right, right.
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 So, yeah, I think so.
Michelle said, watch a cat. They are completely sensual. Okay, I guess. I don't like cats, so. Not the four-legged cat, anyway. Let me stop. I ain't say that out loud, did I? Anyway, so. Anyway. You know, I done got all thrown off now. But, so, if we're talking about. Even though we're talking about that, so let's bring a little bit in about the five languages. You know, how does that relate to let's say the romantic part of lovemaking or the courtship? You know, how does that work?
I got a feeling. Am I still breaking up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay. A flash just came through that you're narrowing it down to narrow.
I'm narrowing down to narrow? Okay. Go ahead.
Because you wanted to include the five love languages, but I need you to re-stimulate, name one of them so I can get the picture in my mind, the rest of them.
Words of affirmation.
Right. Yeah, mentioned that earlier, you see? And there's something that we should be able to do consistently throughout our day, not just with our love partner, because when you master that, then, you know, it's not an issue to do it with your partner, right?
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm back. Let me bring.
Where did you go?
Well, let me bring Michael here. That's where I went.
Wait a minute. I want you to answer my question first.
What was the question? Okay. What was the question?
Well, we were talking about affirming. We were talking. You wanted to bring in the five love languages.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So we talked about. Well, I talked about how you should be able to do that throughout your day.
Well, I mean,
and when we practice that throughout our day in many facets of our life, then it's not an issue when you have a partner.
Well,
that's what we don't do.
Okay, all right. So, okay, let me see where you're putting it out there.
I think you're looking at the thing from a narrow scope.
A narrow scope. Well, I'm looking at it from the romantic side of the scope. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Oh, I said romantic when you're happy.
Well, yeah. It is, but sometimes
sensuous, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. So look. All right. So give me an example of what you're talking about, and I give you an example of what it would be to me.
Okay. Well, you should be able to get excited about seeing a bird as well as excited about seeing your lover, you see?
Okay.
Because you should have that experience all day, every day. At least that's what I think a good goal is to have.
Okay. Well, see, here's my goal. Now, I see a bird, I think about when we used to shoot them back when I was growing up. So I don't know. Now, as far as seeing my mate, that's different. You know, I can call her, you know, anytime and just say, hey, baby, you know, I'm thinking about you, or hello, my love, you know, or when she get home, you know, greet her at the door with a nice long kiss, you know, just surprise her with taking her lunch, you know, or give her a call before she go to lunch and say, baby, meet me here. You know, that is what I would consider, you know, an affirmation.
That's,
you know,
sweet.
In that sense. And that way, you know, you're always, you know, letting her know that you're letting your mate know. In my case, letting her know that she is important to me. You know, mm-hmm. She is that my second, you know, now I ain't going to say my second in command, but, you know, she's right there with me, and mm-hmm. we're in this thing together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you have inside of you and what she has inside of you, you choose to share with each other.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we done got there. I got that. All right. Michael, where you at? Mike?
Hello. I'm in this damn traffic, man. It's cold and wet over the East Coast. How you guys doing? It's never like being cold and wet. That's cold and wet at the same time. Wow. But it's okay. How you guys doing?
Good. Well, and you?
Well, I'm kind of puzzled. I mean, I don't know what y'all are talking about, but the Mr. Talk, I'm quite interesting. You said that she's not the cold pilot. She's not cold. She's side by side. Wow, that's interesting. It seems you guys are starting to learn and play your terminology around. Like Mr. Solution the other day, he said the same way you describe a man, you should describe a woman. So you guys are coming along. I really appreciate that.
Well,
what
Michael,
the heck are you talking about?
Ideas.
I'm working on you guys, right, Mr. Talk. You never thought like that. You said you and your woman are side by side each other. Therefore, there is no leader. You said she's not a co. You had to correct yourself. So I'm proud of you, Mr. Talk. I'm really proud of you, Mr. Talk.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Go ahead anyway, Michael. Go ahead. What you was going to say? I just got one thing to say about that, Michael. Okay.
Okay. Well, it's recorded. Right. You can't take it back. So what
all
you
right.
Guys
well,
no,
I'm
going to
take
it back.
But go ahead.
What y'all talking about, sex?
No, we're not talking about sex. And I'm glad you said that. We're talking about the art of love making. And we don't want to hear nothing about no ejaculation. And we don't want to hear nothing about an erection. We're talking about the art of love making. We're not talking about the final product. We're talking about what gets you there.
What? Anything that you just said, love me, includes that. I hope it does.
Michael, will you listen to what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. We're talking about before you get to that. We already know that is is basically the solution. The conclusion of all the other things. You know, that is the coup de grace, they say. But what we're talking about is the part, the romance part, the sensual part. You know, the things to get you to that point. Understand what I'm saying?
So you're talking about the things that lead up to an erection and ejaculation. Oh, okay.
Had to go there.
Okay.
You just had to go there. You just had to go there, huh?
No. I mean, I'm just speaking the fact. I mean, I'm trying to get a clear understanding of the talk.
Okay, you know what, Michael? I hate your best with you.
I'll be on my best behavior. I know you don't want to talk about it. I'll respect the show.
Well, Michael, let's see. One be the wise, ask a question. Advice. What do you do when you feel the love is no longer there? Huh. Now, see, that's a good question. What do you do? Number one, I would think you have to find out. Michael, mute yourself. I don't want to hear no police. All right. Number one, one be the wise, you have to find out what happened. Why is love no longer there? You know, it may still be there. You just have lost you may have gotten in a rut and feel that it's not there. you know? What? You know what? I'm Pianki. Pianki, you about to get kicked out of the chat room for that one. All right, let me bring Joey. Well, living the devilicious life says you keep it moving. What do you think about that, Sister Ngoni? What do you do when you feel the love is no longer there? You know, I think there's a breakdown somewhere in that whole equation. Somebody forgot to continue to do what it took to keep to get you in the first place, or you forgot to do what kept them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Go ahead.
When you have love inside of yourself, you don't look at it like that. Because, you know, if you're with someone and they're not happy and you're not happy, well, of course, I agree with the person in the chat room. It's time to move on. You're not feeling
But why? But see, once again, here's the question. I mean, so you're just going to take it at that and leave and really not know what's going on?
Well, no, I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say that at all.
You know, and one being wise asked a good question. I asked what's wrong, and all I get is I'm fine and nothing's wrong. Now, see, that means the lines of communication has closed for some reason. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, there's no longer words of affirmation. There's no longer, you know, that intertwined oneness, I guess you can say. So now. Mm-hmm. It's just to the point to where you have to sit down and talk. You just got to find out what's going on. Now, see, the perception is a whole different thing. Now, you may think, well, they may not love me. I don't know. We sleeping in separate beds, but that may not be the case. It may be a misunderstanding.
That may not be the case. Perception is all anyone has.
Huh?
You see, and if, well, yeah, perception is all anyone has. Everyone has their perception. So you go by your feeling, which is a truer, I think, form of understanding than your head. That's where all the assumptions and the fear and, you know, all that comes from, the head.
Mm-hmm.
So
the one up top.
Yeah, and if, you know, the scenario you're painting, if two people don't feel happy and they really care about each other and they want to find out what may be causing that disconnection, then they will. And if they don't, then maybe it's time for them to move on. That's just simple. Not complicated, in my view.
I see.
You know.
Okay. Well, I say what you would do is continue to try and keep open the lines of communication up, because I feel that has closed, and that's part of the reason why there is that separation right now. But anyway, hold on, let me bring Joe in. Bring Joe in, and we're gonna also bring Vernon in.
Hey,
all right, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Greetings.
Hey, cuz, haven't heard from you in a while.
What's up, Joe? I've been listening in, man. How you doing, Ngoni and Mr. Talk? Everybody doing all right today?
Doing good. Who is this speaking?
That's
this Vernon.
Oh, okay. Yes. I don't hear you very often, so I didn't catch your voice.
That's because his cousin's always on the line messing things up.
That's
he
Mr. Lowe.
He doesn't want to come in. I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
So you stop that, Joe. You know, cuz get on you now. He'll be on you.
I know.
He'll be on you like white on rice.
And telling me all about the truth and how. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. You were first, so I'll let you go ahead and get your say.
Well, I just wanted to come in before Michael started with his ejaculation thesis. That's it. Yeah. I'm finished now. Okay. Michael isn't on the line, so no problem. So what'd you want to say, Ron?
Okay. Eric, I was just going to comment on what they were talking about. A lot of times in relationships now, people, you know, I think I said this before on the show, people treat relationships like a new car almost, man. You know, once they get tired of it, they move on to something else.
You know, in a way they should, but I know what you're talking about. They don't last 6 months or 7 months trying to work out a relationship. As soon as they get a few bumps in the road, I'm like that, so I'm guilty of that. But I kind of think of myself as having the kind of insight that if I see certain, let's say, idiosyncrasies that she's throwing out there, and I feel that they're going to be permanent, then I don't want to be bothered with it. And I don't really know if the philosophy is right or not, but I do know I avoid a lot of freaking aggravation that way.
Well, Joe, I think you're right. I mean, life is for enjoyment, not for pain and suffering.
Yeah, but I mean,
not exactly pain and suffering, Angoni. I was really referring to the fact that most of the time, and when people get when that spark leaves, I think that's what it is. When that little spark, you know, that little thing that makes you feel good in the beginning, that you when that leaves, people don't know how to deal with it, and they start searching for other things. You know,
that's cause, Vernon, in my humble opinion, they don't understand that that spark came from inside of them. They think the spark came from somebody else.
Well, it did. It did.
And you know, I think this whole attitude, if I could be wrong, but I've observed it, and I think it comes from the whole concept of human resources. That's how people treat each other now, like they're human resources.
Mm-hmm.
When their need is fulfilled.
You know what I think is the real problem also?
What?
People are always looking for the new stimulation instead of embracing what they have.
Well,
okay?
Right. Yeah.
People should just realize that marriage is a bore, okay? Doesn't mean it has to be a complete bore. But when you're in a state of harmony, when you found somebody that really excites you, that you trust, that you understand, that you respect, and you get it back in return, okay?
But
that's because... Yeah, right.
But Joe,
why would you say a marriage is a bore?
Come on, start a controversy with harmony?
Yeah, because I don't agree with that. Yeah, marriage should never be a bore.
That's the problem. You're stating the problem.
Michael, go ejaculate. All
but
right,
Mr. Talk, did you hear what you just said? Was that Mr. Talk that said marriage should never be a bore?
Yeah, that was Eric.
Right.
Yep, that was me.
It's like you should never lose yourself in a marriage.
Man,
Michael,
that's
I'm
a different thing, Michael. Think about being a bore. I said it's boring,
but it's not a complete bore. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's not a complete bore.
It's the people making it boring.
But look, harmony means you are going to sit on the couch, you are going to take a look at Netflix, you are going to go out every once in a while. What gave you the spark is not there, okay? What gave you the spark was the flowers, the romance, the expectations, the going out, the dressing up, the putting on.
No!
And
no,
then
not me.
Okay, good.
No,
Mike,
what
not
gave
you.
Me
go
that
ejaculate,
spark
Mike.
Before when me and her looked
Michael,
at each other, that gave us the spark before the roses, before
good,
the
Mike.
Movie, before all of that shit.
Mike,
I guess I thought to you, herself
you talk,
gave
I'm
me that
interrupt
spark.
You.
Her look,
okay.
Her look,
okay.
Her
you
smell, want to
be interrupted? Not a problem.
Okay.
When she opened up
Michael.
Her mouth, I loved it.
Michael.
That was before the movie.
Michael.
All right, let him finish.
I'm
Mike,
on the
let
road, man.
Okay.
I'm going to meet myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on the road.
You permanently. When you do that, when you go out and you find somebody new, you like them, they're good in bed, they're good conversationalists, they're intelligent, everything that you think fulfills your expectations. Then what happens? You get into a relationship, and then if the relationship progresses nicely, then you get married. Married people move in together. They talk about the same stuff all the time. They're no longer separate. They go to work. They come back home. They have kids. They don't have kids. They mow the lawn, blah, blah, blah. It settles down. People don't embrace that. Once you've found somebody that fulfills what you want, you shouldn't expect them to continue to do that all the time. If you marry Batman, you really think that Batman is going to save Gotham City every freaking day?
Joe, you have such a gray view of relationships.
Oh, yo.
Well, that's my perception. I mean, I'm not trying to insult you or anything.
So
but you see, once again, I respond by saying that, you know, all the things you described in the beginning when you said you find somebody that sparks your interest or whatever, you know, all of that is forgetting that you already had what was inside of you. You're just out there playing in the matrix. And what happens is we forget that. And then we look for somebody else to fulfill us, and that's not possible.
Well,
no, it is possible, right? Because we are not, look, you can be content in life without having somebody that you love. You can be content, but you're not going to be completely satisfied and fulfilled.
I don't buy that idea.
There is no feeling greater than love for another person.
Everybody wants to be loved, Joe. What are you talking about? Someone can be content. Let me tell you, Nagoni, you said something about human beings. No, listen to what you're saying.
You're not listening to what you're saying, Joe. Okay,
saying things, but then you want to, Whitler, when you say something, you say you don't have to be content without someone else's love. I'm letting you know everybody on this planet wants to be loved.
I said you can be content
without someone else's love, and I'm letting you know that's a delusion. That's a lie, because we all need each other. Everyone in this world, when I finished the end of the sentence with only three words,
I said you will not be emotionally fulfilled without somebody that loves you and you love. I said you can be content. You're not going to be suicidal if you don't have somebody that you're married to, but you can be content. You use the word love.
Yes, content. You're content. That means that you don't want more. You don't want less. You're satisfied where you're at. In that state where you are, basically you're at peace. You're content. I mean, we're playing with words.
Look, hold on, everybody. If you're alone, Joe, you forgot who you're talking about. Anyway, now, Joe, I heard what you said. I really did. I heard what you said. Now, and here's my thing about that. Mm-hmm. I think once a relationship gets to that point, you know, even once you get married, you still have to remember the five love languages. You know, words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. You know, those are things you still have to do. And not just marriage, just relationships, period. And what
I was getting ready to suggest we don't just discuss it from a marriage angle.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what should happen.
Most people don't do
right.
it. But even when they do, what happens is when you are with somebody for 24/7, everything becomes not new anymore. It becomes old.
Oh.
And people, the human nature does not like repetition. That's why people get bored in marriages, even the good ones. When the surveys have been done on...
Well, you're looking outside of yourself for something that you don't need.
That's
fine.
You keep talking about... But see, once again, you know, that's why you have to continue, as the old folk used to say, the same thing it took to get them is the same thing it takes to keep them. Now, what usually happens... You know, people get in that rut and they become content with each other and they forget what it took to get them. Now, in my case, you know, I'm always thinking of something new to do just to keep it fresh. You know, and you just cannot be around someone 24/7. It's not going to work. I mean,
yeah,
I don't care how much in love you are. You know, but hold on. Let me bring Miss Antoine in. She said she had something she wanted to say. Hello,
I just wanted to
ask
a question. Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing?
What happened to Vernon?
I'm good. I just wanted to say about relationships, if that's what we're talking about, building relationship long term, we have to have purpose and mission. It's not just about feeling good all the time. You know, you have to have some direction. It'd be good to have a man with some good ideas to put some things forward that you can work towards. But even in marriage, we think two people are just coming together, but actually families are coming together. And if we're not looking in that light, then, yes, our marriages are not going to last, you know, they'll be over when the excitement is over.
Mm-hmm.
So we need purpose and longevity. And you saw that in your grandparents and your great aunts and uncles. They had longevity.
That was way back when people got married and they were serious about it. Nowadays they don't. The thing is, when the spark leaves, people do not know how to renew the spark. Sometimes they do, but at the same time, human nature, because if you take a look at American society, if you take a look at other societies, well, they're not as bad as American society. But let's take a look at American society. If you continue to do the same thing day in and day out, I'm not saying it's wrong, because I'm saying embrace the harmony, embrace the sameness. When you realize you've got somebody that you can trust, you can respect, that you believe that he or she is an intelligent person, good in bed, be grateful. Don't continue to look for, well, geez, he didn't give me flowers this week, or he didn't open the door for the car this week. He's still mowing the lawn. He's still going up on the roof and all of that kind of good stuff. Be grateful for what you have and stop looking for the new. That would be a solution. You just be grateful that you're sitting on the couch, that neither one is sick, and you can watch TV together. Yeah, you can go out. Right. You can do that every once in a while. You can go visit relatives. There's a lot of things to do. I mean, if you had a list of the things that you wanted to do, amusement parks, picnics, barbecues, going fishing, going to the beach, there's nothing that isn't there. But you still have to have the inner qualities, and you have to embrace sameness. If you don't,
well, Joe,
you're bored.
Joe, when you talk about being bored in marriage, okay, let me ask the question. When you feel bored, why does your partner have anything to do with your feeling of boredom inside of you? I mean, when you finally understand that nobody else can make you happy, and you understand that happiness is love coming out of you, not what somebody else is doing for you.
Okay. Okay,
so you talk about all these activities, all these things, you can keep yourself busy. How many people have been with each other for 30 years and they do all these things together?
Listen, Donnie, are you listening to me?
And
well,
each
you're
other.
Making my argument.
How is that?
Because I'm saying you can, but you can embrace the sameness. You do not have to do that, I said.
Okay, great. I get you.
I'm going to ask something, if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead.
Now, if people would go in being straight up and being themselves in the relationship, if you know you're not the type of person that likes to go out all the time and bring flowers and... If you know that is not really you, if you're just doing that just to put on a show for somebody, you know, yeah, I mean, you're going it's obvious that you're going to stop doing it.
Joe, fix that hum.
The hum is bad again? I don't care. I'll be right back.
Yeah. It's obvious that you're not going to keep doing that because that's not something that's a part of you. You're just doing it just to get that person. And that's the problem with most relationships. Most people going in being somebody that they're not. And then when they stop doing that, and then the other party is sitting there still looking for, you know, the same thing that was happening when they got together. And then, you know, you got a problem there.
Vernon, I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, let me bring Ebony and Lo in. Okay. 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 Well, we'll bring Lo in. Ebony on the phone call, I guess.
Ebony, Lo.
Hello, Mr. Lo.
Shalom.
Hey, Shalom,
hello,
Brother
hello.
Lo.
Hello, all. Ebony Lo, I like how that sounds.
Yeah. She didn't arrive with you. Hopefully she'll be here shortly.
That's cool. Hey, we don't always come at the same time.
Right.
The
you never come together. What are you kidding?
Hey, Joe, I'll get back to you in a minute. Okay. The show and Joe has a great point. Vernon got a good point, too. The show is true. It's very true. How do you really know what is and what is not love and love making and the art of oneness? How do you honestly, truly know what any of this stuff is unless you sit down and to me personally, you have to sit down and assess other people's situations that came before you. Now, if you had the old man at 70 and the old lady that's 69, they've been together for 40, 50 years. And that's all you see. You don't know what it took for them to continue to be together. You don't remember, you don't know anything about the time when he was 27 and he was running all everywhere, laying up with everybody. And she knew about it, but she stayed with him because she loved him. You don't know about the time when when he didn't have enough money for this or that, and she got mad, and she decided, hey, well, you know, okay, well, I'll go and get some money for myself. Don't worry about it. I'll get it because I want it. You don't know about those things. But all in all, when you sit back and take a tidbit from everybody's situation that you've seen before yours, and you say, well, you know what? That was wrong. This was wrong. I promise I won't do that. I'll do my best not to do that. Those are great points right there. You can come up with the perfect solution for your own situation, I think. You know, a lot of people look at the TV people and say, well, oh, they got money, and every time the camera's on, they're so happy. But those are the same people going to counselors and getting divorced and killing each other. So, you know, if you go in and truthful and be who you are, not who they want, because I know people personally, high school loves, all that stuff, went to the proms together, blah, 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 blah. The guy, oh, yeah, he brought flowers for everything and all this and everything. Every time the lady opened her mouth, oh, yeah, They got married after, and they had a couple of kids, and they wound up getting a divorce after being married for, like, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years. So,
well, I think, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lowe.
I was just going to say, all in all, you know, who you are, truthfully and honestly, that's who you need to bring to the table. Because if you don't, then some of the expectations that the other person have that they checked off on their list is not going to be met.
Well, the operative word, Lowe.
I think those are good points that Brother Lowe made. But I think the answer to your question when you said, how do you know? How do you know is only through your own experience.
Well, what
I agree.
What Lowe was saying, especially when he's talking about expectations, that to me is the operative word, because people do have expectations. Men have not quite as high of the expectations as women do. So all we really want is just a woman who, you know, doesn't whine, doesn't nag, somebody we can trust, basically pretty good in bed. What women want is a completely different animal. And nowadays, with the instant gratification, they get disappointed very quickly. As a matter of fact, yesterday there was a poll, or was it the day before, and the poll was about women. Would you date an unemployed man? 75% said no. Now, what? Again, I'm going back to the same old thing that I come up with. What difference does it make if a man has money or not? If you're making your own money, what difference does it make? But the number one primary choice for a man is somebody who is, quote-unquote, financially independent. To me, that's bullshit. We never pick women on that. We pick women because we thought they could be good companions. They could provide sensuality, sexuality, and good companionship, the physical presence. But now that the now it's reversed, okay, they don't want to share.
That's going to count some of you guys out, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's why we got to live in the modern day and time.
Okay. Again, what I said falls on deaf ears.
If you notice, I never got my viewpoint on none of this, and I was the first one to call. But y'all can go ahead.
You weren't the first one.
Joe, what came to my mind when you were just talking was you were describing a product instead of somebody to share love with.
Hear that, Sister?
A product.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
What, a commodity?
Yeah.
I want to hear that. I want to hear that explained.
Yeah.
So, in
other words, men
when
want
I heard
commodity.
The way you were describing someone to share your love with, I mean, see, that's why I keep coming back to, if you don't have it inside of you already, you're not going to find it out there.
You know what it is? Women are shittier fucking listeners. I'll tell you that now.
What? Say it again, Joe.
Man, the way I described the woman was not a commodity. It was a person who was sensual,
Joe,
sexual.
I was telling you how it sounded to me.
Saying, Angonia. You and other women don't know how to listen to what to freaking English.
Oh,
that's why men and women don't get
heard
along.
That before.
No. Men and women, we are supposed to speak English. We speak English, but people just don't understand because they have confirmation bias.
Your head.
It's
Joe.
Called confirmation bias. You have a certain precept about what. Yeah, because I've been through this before. Not with you. I'm talking about with other women. I've talked about a man should be submissive to a woman and a woman should be submissive to a man. Do you know what that started? All I was saying was a man should please his woman, a woman should please his man, sometimes compromise, but never compromise on his or her principles.
Absolutely.
And women got into a firestorm about that because
they
listened to it. And they distorted
it. Supposed to be the same. I mean, hopefully that you and your mate's principles are one in line, so they won't compromise principles. But see, you want these non-traditional women. Listen, a non-traditional woman will never have a good relationship with a traditional man. A non-traditional man will never be able to have a relationship with a traditional woman. It's not going to work. It will never happen. And that's what we're going through in our relationships, these roles. I want to be traditional. He doesn't want to be traditional, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Because, see, a lot of men nowadays, black men say, look, I want to take care of my woman. She don't do nothing. I'm the boss. I lead. Then now
where you
have some men say, you know
from,
what?
Man?
What do you mean?
Okay.
That's what I said.
Biblical, well, people always say that. A minister of preaching said the man is the head of his house. He leaves. He has the last say.
Well, that's true. Yeah, a lot of men won't. They won't go for this equality thing. A lot of men say, well, we got to be the leader and we got to take charge, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, we're not talking about a classroom project.
I got a good point.
We're not talking about a classroom project and the alpha male said, I'm going to be the one that's going to run it. No.
That's what most men want. They want
to
do that.
Well, Joe, the thing about it is you have to be smart. You got to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. The thing is, you got to be smart with what you do. Now, if
you hear Ebony
hey,
sigh, that sigh
if,
was, she didn't
hey,
like
hey,
what
that's
you
that's
said.
That's fine to me. That's fine to me.
Okay.
I don't care.
That, no, men should take charge.
If you're in a relationship and your lady is stronger at some things than you are, there shouldn't be a problem with you trusting her after y'all have talked about something to make a good decision on it. You know, it doesn't mean well, I'm the head. You gonna listen to what the hell I said?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't beat everybody ass, it don't mean that. That's foolishness.
Tell me
about
it.
Barbarian like that.
What about
that's insecurity?
No, I have a sign. Do you know I have a sign? Because you guys are way off topic. The topic was the art of lovemaking.
What the hell are you talking about?
You've gone into another
Eric
world.
Was saying,
hold on,
we were talking
Ebony.
About romance and before
listen.
Going to bed.
Listen,
okay.
My thing is this. You want to bring lovemaking all into just being the art of sex when that's totally off. You can have sex with somebody you don't even care about. You can have sex with a prostitute or whatever and don't have any emotions in it. And that has nothing to do with love or love making.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation where you with somebody and, okay, well, I know normally they don't want to do this because I like to go and do that. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Because I love this person and I want my relationship to be in harmony, I'm going to do this with them instead of going and doing what I normally like to go do or whatever the case. I'm going, matter of fact,
that's fair enough.
I'll sit down and I'll watch the stupid-ass Lifetime movie that I don't care anything about because that's what she enjoys. And, hey, you know what, damn it, I love her enough that I'll enjoy it too. Or I'll tolerate it and we can talk about the movie later. But me just being an ogre and saying, I'm not doing it, hell with that. I don't care. That's foolish. And that's a part of your
exactly.
love.
That's right.
Love
how many, times,
just
how many times you think I had to watch Atlanta Housewives? I did that because I'm a considerate man. Now, do I always do it? No, I don't. But,
oh,
I mean, sometimes I wish that,
you
know
what,
I'm going to go ahead and do this.
You
okay,
know,
hold on.
I mean, Lifetime, Atlanta Housewives, the same thing. I mean, what the fuck?
An emotional show. Right.
Okay.
An emotional movie. Ahead,
hold on for a minute, Lo. Let me bring Lisa Effect in. Let's see.
New person.
Yes, Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, hi, you guys.
Oh, a new
hi.
Person. Hello, Lisa.
I just wanted to say, you know how people say, oh, men are so simplistic. All they want is, you know, for someone not to nag. But seriously, men know if they met a woman that knew how to cook and clean and didn't nag, but if she was 400 pounds, you know, they would turn her down in a minute. So we
some
need to deal with that.
So what's wrong with
some
turning down a 400-pound woman?
Some men would.
You tell
women.
Me. The average man would not want that.
Now, what is your definition of average, quote, unquote?
Well, it varies. Let's just say.
There you go. So there is no average. Now, if you want to find somebody that loves television, then you'll find that person.
Men out there would rather have a dime piece. I didn't know how to cook. Well, darling, listen.
Now, with your dime piece, after 5 or 10 years, she's not going to be as much of a dime as she was before.
But it doesn't matter because she already got the money. It doesn't matter.
Money? What are you talking about, money? We're talking about the love portion, the looks portion. You said a dime piece. To me, if you can cook for me and do all of those things, and I don't have to go hungry or whatever, and I can go to work at 10 o'clock at night and come back home the next morning, and I know you are not fucking somebody, that's my dime piece.
Well, you know what, Brother Lowe? I think you were bringing out some very good points when you were talking about how you would sit down and be with your wife to watch a movie even though it's something that you don't like. Because what you were expressing was giving of yourself to someone you love. And I think, you know, that's... We didn't talk about that.
We did talk about it. Lowe expressed it. Mike talked about it briefly, and I talked about it with the mutuality. You know, I didn't say that term this particular show. I said it other
shows.
Well,
I wanted to express it that way.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, and I'll say it like this. Now, if it's something to me that's too far-fetched, like Michael was saying, like the Atlanta House, I draw my line. She don't even watch that foolish. But if it's something that's something that's compatible that we both can check out or whatever, it's fine. You got a movie that the woman, she's all emotional and she didn't know her dad, and he's like, oh, okay, fine. But you have these people exactly the opposite of what we're talking about right now. Everything on those shows is exactly what people don't need to be looking in a companion, for in a companion.
Well,
you got to have
a certain
type of car.
Please let me address
the
role.
You got to have a certain type of car, house, and I don't want to deal with you. You got to wear a certain type of jeans or shoes.
Well,
I don't want you.
Michael.
You don't want that.
Well,
person.
First, Lowe has been attacking me. First, see, I said something.
I
now Lowe is saying, please let me, it's only going to take 30 seconds. Well, first of all, Lowe saying looks don't matter. Lowe saying looks don't matter. I say, men, stop saying that. Y'all know looks matter. She's not going to be
it's
no
not men who
like
didn't
no
say that.
Pounds. Well, hold up. No. Listen. He said as long as a woman can cook and make sure he's
not
eating,
right. I'm sorry.
Looks
that's
don't
right.
mean it. He said a dime piece. Looks do right. matter. Hold up. See how you doing, Lowe? I said sometimes I don't like to watch Atlanta Housewives. You said Lifetime. Lifetime bashes men. Men are violent and other. Don't compare. What I'm saying is regardless of what the woman likes or not, if me as a man, I don't like Lifetime. I tell her, I can't stand because it bashes men.
I don't like it either.
You know what, Michael?
I don't like
listen, hold up. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me
30 seconds
myself.
Is up.
No, it's not. I haven't been fucking 30 seconds. What I'm saying, Lowe, the bottom line is it's not the show whether you can sit down and have some type of compromise because you may have one TV in the house. You don't know how it is. The TV may be how it is. If you can compromise and have a balance, that's all. We're not talking about a particular show or
Michael,
you may not
can
like
I interject
the
now?
Women like that. That's my point, Lowe.
Okay, Michael, here's what I'm going to interject. That's what Lowe was saying. What you just said, Lowe said. And before Lowe got on the show, that's what I was saying. When I said compromise, you can sit on the couch and see Netflix. We're all in agreement.
Right, but so why can play it when I said Atlanta Housewives? Why can play a Lifetime is better than Atlanta Housewives?
You have to talk a little about
that's
that.
That's my point. Yeah. The point is that you're being considered. I don't watch that stuff all the time.
No,
I'm thankful for the time and place I'll be.
But getting back to Lisa, there's nothing wrong with somebody saying, ooh, 400 pounds. I don't want to be bothered with that. Just like when a girl takes a look at a guy. And when the girl...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was saying, but that's why we need to be honest with each other. We need to keep saying, oh, looks don't matter. It's what's inside.
We never said that. We never implied that.
I'm making the point because you know how men are saying, oh, we're so simple, we're basic. This is all we want.
That's not necessarily true.
It's not necessarily false.
Let me give you a perfect example. That's why most women, say for instance someone like an Oprah Winfrey, that's why she had to become her own billionaire. Meanwhile, you got quote-unquote dime pieces marrying billionaires.
But see, that's not a good example because that's
a
her
terrible example.
It's a perfect example.
That is her in the business world. Had nothing to do with Stedman. She bought King's World and turned it into a billion-dollar enterprise.
Exactly. She had to do it on her own.
Now, Stedman was there just like a woman. If a woman is behind a billionaire man, why can't Stedman be given credit for standing behind Oprah?
You're missing my point. Kim Kardashian right now is kicking it in a mansion without a college education.
Okay, you went from
Oprah.
Okay,
you want to be a hoe? They got to hole around and lay up with
guess
people.
What? You know what? They look like they're winning these days.
You know,
so
you
to
went
be
from
honest,
one
I don't
issue
know.
To another issue.
You know,
okay. All right, hold on.
I might have to give me a stripper name. I don't know.
Anymore.
Hold
think
on.
We're talking about love making anymore.
I wonder if you thought that.
Hold on. Let me bring Miss Lady in, and hopefully we get back to where we were talking about.
You know what? I don't know. It's hard to make out what the topic is, and
I agree with you.
I just heard something. Somebody said, "Look, doesn't matter," but they do. Everybody knows they do the makeup, plastic surgery, hair business, or multi-billion-dollar businesses. The look obviously matter. Making some money, and I heard someone say, well, you know, Stan might marry a dime piece, but in 10 or 15 years, she won't be the same. Well, she's not supposed to. Doesn't mean she's not going to be very attractive. Other men may not be very attracted to her, and as well as the man's not going to be the same as he is.
Who are we talking about now, a man or a woman?
No.
We talking about a woman. Let's stay on the topic.
The best thing you can get is a woman who loves to work out in the gym.
No, but it's true. Stop saying that looks don't matter. Men don't care about the
time. We never said that. We never implied that. Usually when I talk about what men want, I usually say a good-looking, a reasonably good-looking woman with reasonable intelligence, reasonable conversational skills, reasonably good in bed, because I didn't say it this time, but we have it.
All right. Everybody has been silenced for the moment because we are no longer talking about the art of lovemaking. Y'all done got on this man-woman kick again, and I understand that has a lot to do with it, but let's stay on the romance part of it. Let's stay on the sensuality part of it, okay? This going back and forth about men do this, men do that, that's not what we already know that part. What we're trying to get to is the part that leads up. You know, what can we do to enhance the lovemaking, the end product, okay? That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about all this other stuff. And I've been sitting here waiting. Now, I've been sitting here listening.
Brother Lowe had us going in that direction because he was expressing his way of giving love from himself to his partner,
right.
See. Everybody's giving love from their self, and they choose willingly to share with each other, then you don't have all these issues they're talking about now.
Right. I'm sorry. So
no,
we're
going
to go ahead and open up the lines again, and hopefully we can, you know, get back on topic. Thank you. And we're going to start with the newcomer, area code 267. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Mr. Talk? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
All right, this is Ivy Wise.
Oh, okay, really? What's going on, Ivy Wise?
Oh, man, I'm just chilling, just listening. I'm hearing so many different topics. You know, it's kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why, you know, we're trying to get back on topic of the art of lovemaking and the sensuality and, you know, what leads to the fine product. So, you got anything you want to add?
Well, I'm going to tell you honestly, with everything that I'm going through and all the mixed emotions and the mixed feelings, I think I'm a little bit too off kilter right now to really comment on it. But I will say that one thing I know for sure is that if it's not something that the two people involved in a relationship are willing to secure together, you're not getting anywhere. You know, you're just passing time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one thing about me is I do what I can to invest in a relationship. Okay, if that's what it is. I mean, if it's just a get-together, a quick booty call or something like that, that's a whole different thing. But when you're talking about a relationship, you're talking about something that involves your heart and your partner's heart. All right? Mm-hmm. And it the slightest thing can be crucial to destroying a relationship. You know, which means you have, which makes you have to work harder. But if you have to work too hard, all right, then you're doing the wrong thing, because the relationship, I mean, even though it is something that you, that has to be worked on a constant basis in order to keep it on a professional level, if you have to constantly work at it, it's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I agree. If you have to take all that, I don't want it. It's too draining.
Well, you know what? You see, y'all leading up to right. Let's stay with the top. The art of lovemaking, the art, an artist, right? Their creativity. There's no really standard. So I agree with Joe. You have to. You can't stay in that same old boring stuff. I mean, I'm just be spontaneous. But the art of lovemaking, there's no one standard, because art is creativity. Right.
Yeah, but I think the creativity. I wanted to say that the creativity comes out of that expression of feeling that you have for that other person. And I think you can't just get into bed with someone and start creating when you're not having that feeling, that connection with that person. And sometimes when we're not getting the response from the other person, it's because we're not connecting. Okay, if you're just putting it out and think it's about how you're, you know, how much sex you're having and how long you're doing it and whatever, it's not about that. It's about the mental, spiritual, and physical connection with another person who you're expressing feelings with. And I think that's when, you know, the creativity comes naturally, because you want to make that person feel the best that they can feel, and they want to, you know, they want to up the ante with you, and you will find that the ebbs and flows will go really natural, and it's absolutely cool. But if you're not connecting, that's where the struggle starts, and that's where we start talking about, well, you've got to put the work in and you've got to do this. It's never work when you're expressing true love with someone. You know, it only becomes work when there's a distance. It only becomes work when there's a disconnection from that person. So I think, in all the relationships that you have out there, that's the thing to keep in mind.
Now, that's why I always say, now watch this, Evan. You always get it. That's why I say a marriage should never be hard work. It should never be a struggle. It should never be
work.
I don't
know, but
because
they need
an
stop
artist,
it.
If you, no, hold on. If you ask an artist doesn't feel like he's doing hard work. An artist knows what he's doing. He's creating, so it's not hard. So you're exactly right, Ebony. So remember, a marriage should never be a struggle. If your marriage is hard work and you have to put work, something is wrong. You're not happy. That's a fact. I'm not. Look, I went to work today and I had fun, but I wasn't happy.
Hold on for a minute. Somebody's doing something and it's very distracting. So if you're making that noise doing something, please stop.
Mike got a good point. Tell me, stop.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he got a good point there. You got to work that hard at it. You can't be happy.
That's true. You're not in synchronicity. You're not compatible. If you got to work like that.
Absolutely true. And I think there may be some work involved in trying to understand what your partner, is about and what level they're on and whether you're on the same page. And and I think there is some work there when you're talking about trying to understand, because we all come from different places in life. We all come with our own, you know, batch of baggage and stuff and whatever. And sometimes, you know, there is a little bit of work in trying to understand where people are coming from and what may be affecting their inability to connect with you and communicate with you in the way that you want to be communicated with. So I'd say You know, that's not always a negative. It isn't a negative. It just depends on whether you are emotionally intelligent enough to see where it's an investment and to see the difference between anything that's just not working. So sometimes you invest and you put the work in because you understand that there's an outcome, because essentially the foundation is good, and the foundation is that you actually have a good understanding and love and feeling for that person. If the foundation isn't good, you can put in all the work you want from now until kingdom come, you ain't going to get what you want from that person. So that's the assessment that you've got to make, and you've got to make that very soon on. Is that person in this with me, and does this person want us to grow and develop together, or is this person just shadowing time, looking for their own interest? You know, are they more interested in things, maybe? And maybe Joe's point then about whether you are working or not working, or, you know, what have you got to give me? If that's the point that they're on, then that's the assessment that you make as an adult, emotionally intelligent. You know, you check what is this person about. And I think you won't always know someone instantly. So there is a little bit of work in working it out. And sometimes we're going, like, I've only been with that person 2 or 3 months or a year, and I should know. No, it takes a long time to know what's really going on sometimes with people, because people don't always show up, in their colors as they truly are. And we are, most of us, and it's not putting it out there about other people, but we all do it. We hide, we pretend, we're not as honest as we could be. And there may be issues that some people have, and they don't want to highlight those. They want to play it down and say, well, you know, this is the other person's problem. Well, I think if you start with yourself and look at where what your contribution is to the connection, and if you're doing what you should be doing, then, you know, that's half the battle won. That's something my dad always told me. Once half your mind's made up, half the battle's won. So you do your thing and you sort yourself out, and then you come to the connection, you look at what's on the table from the two of you, and you make an assessment. And if the assessment's the right assessment, then it's worth keep investing and keep working and growing with that person. If the investment on the foundation isn't right, then you make a decision, and that may be to vote with your feet and keep it moving. That's all I got to say. I'm done.
Good comments, Ebony, because I think Michael took the idea that there's working relationships, and he took it to extreme. I mean, if you're not working in a relationship, I mean, people are changing. Even if you make a decision to be with someone, that person's not going to be the same person 10 years ahead as they are today. So each person in the relationship has to always be working on themselves.
Michael never. Now let me explain myself. I'm speaking the fact. I'm not taking nothing to an extreme, because you always talk about meaning is. Listen to me. If I am a committed and we're in compromise, there's not going to feel like I'm working at it. Everything's going to flow like water. We always set up. You know why I got a divorce? Because society has stretched me and my ex-wife up that our marriage is defined as a struggle. Our marriage is defined as you hard work. No, it can't be that. Because if we say it's going to be a struggle before we get married, I guarantee you subconsciously we're going to come up and battle each other. What I'm saying is feeling like something is battling, feeling like you have to straighten this out, you have to work at this. No, I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you know right there in that relationship, you're battling yourself.
Michael, nobody
struggles.
How you take the extreme. Michael. But you used the word struggle. That's what I meant when I said you took the idea to the extreme. We weren't talking about struggle. We were talking about working at understanding a partner or a possible mate, working on yourself and the relationship. That's not the same thing as struggle.
Right, but once I fall in love with, listen, working to getting to know somebody, but once you fall in love and you know who, the work is over. It's
no, that's
making.
When the work begins.
Exactly. No, me being myself, she being herself is not no work. I don't have to work being myself. Y'all know that. She doesn't have to work being herself. It's free. I'm being myself right now. It's not hard work being me. It shouldn't be hard work being her. If all of us come together in unison, Right, but if she accept me for me, I accept for her for her. And I understand what Joe doing. Don't be dull. But if we accept each other, there's no work.
Well,
the
that's
Mike, unity.
Mike,
what if
that's just an opportunity when you
no
accept
a
life together.
I got a question for Mike. What if you're in love with her, right, and you're being
right.
yourself, right, but she's
right.
not being herself? She's
well,
in love
we,
with
well,
you. Hold on. She's in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're in love with her. You're being yourself, but she's not being herself. How do you get past that?
Well, first of all, if she's not being herself, I'm not in love with her. The only way that I can truly know that I'm in love
what?
With her if she be herself.
Yes. Exactly.
Listen, if I'm faking Michael and look, play the I told the women that I look the date I went on, I said I want to know the good and the bad. Don't sugarcoat yourself. I want to know all of you. I want the goodness and the bad of you. If she's faking herself, I don't know who I'm marrying or falling in love with. Be yourself, then I know that I love you.
Mike, what you're saying.
I never fell in love with
what,
her.
What you're
I
saying
fell
sounds.
In love with her,
hold on. You're
what?
Saying that. What you're saying sounds very sensible and logical, but in the real world, people don't always show themselves for who they are. And sometimes you fall in love. Hold on. And I'm sure this could have happened to you being in the past. Look at it and think about it before you speak because you're rushing to be right and you don't need to be right here.
No.
Just listen to what
I'm
saying.
I know my past. I know
please
I
let
before.
Her finish her statement.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
I'm sure you might have met someone in the past, right? I can almost guarantee 100% you would have met someone because I'm sure you've not just been with one person, right? I'm sure you would have met someone in the past who showed up to seem like a super person who you thought, okay, you gave them this fuel about being themselves and being real because you're real. This is who I am. I don't want you to sugarcoat yourself, right? And they showed up and you saw things that you didn't expect to see from that person, given that you'd already told them what you wanted, right?
I'm quite sure all of us did, but I'm talking, but listen, I know my past. I'm talking about now and forward. Fuck the past. I'm talking about how Mike thinks now. And I'll tell women, don't bring no representative. Let me be you. I'm going to be me, and we can find out truly if we like each other.
My question, Mike. My question was.
Okay, so what is your question, Ebony?
Yeah, I'm saying if you don't rush to answer the question, you may hear what I said. The question was, have you met someone in the past who showed up different to what you expected?
Of course, Ebony, yes, I have. And I'm letting you know from now and forward, I've learned from the past, too.
Right. And what I'm saying, what you've learned is not what everybody has learned because you don't, not everybody is you. Only you.
I understand
you.
That. Right,
okay.
Exactly. So when I tell, this is how I handle it. Michael used to play like I was somebody else. Michael, don't do that. He's grown now. When I deal with the women, like I told the woman, the lady yesterday at the dinner table, be yourself. Now, if she comes by and I find out that she wasn't something that I'm saying I was dealing with a liar. Be yourself. I'm talking about now in the future. Now, if I let her know that, be herself, if she doesn't feel comfortable of being herself, she still has a problem. I want to know the person that I'm falling in love with.
What are you going to do when you find the problem?
It may not be no... Hold on.
What do you do if she doesn't listen to what you say and she still continues to be something that you don't want, how will you resolve that problem?
I'm not going to listen. Okay, let's say she says she's a neat girl, she's a neat freak. I go over her house, she lives like a whore, there's something that's wrong. So right there, Mike says, hold up. She's hiding herself, okay, and she's a liar. She's a manipulator. We have to stop doing that because how am I have a future? I'm going to ask her, why did you have to lie? Because she's trying to be something. So right there, that person is not satisfied with themselves. Why would I fall in love with a person who don't know who they are or not satisfied who they are? I'm not going to do
it. What if you'd already fallen in love with her?
Because I'm going to change her.
I asked you a question. What if you had already fallen in love with her when you found out she was lying about being a hoarder?
Well, then, and guess what? The love is going to be broken. You know why? Because I have to deal with it.
Okay.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Hold on, you mean to tell me
if she says she doesn't ever use...
Okay, enough. All right. Anyway.
I do have a question for Michael.
Hey, is my line open?
Wait your turn, Pianke. Go ahead, Hobby the Wise.
Okay, what I wanted to know is you said that when a person approaches you and they give you a view or a vision of who they are, for example, this one that you were talking about who said she was a neat freak, you went over her house and it was a wreck. Boom, she's a liar. You can't justifiably say that because for all you know, it could be a bad day. She could have had her nieces and nephews over there and set up the house at that time. But yet, because you see something different than what she said, you're ready to label her a liar and cut her off. And that might be the wrong thing to do.
There you go. That's a good point. And I also have something I want to say.
Okay, one of the things you have to keep in mind is when it comes to getting involved with someone, you know how we said if you got to do too much work, it's according to what that definition of work is, because some of it is worth trying to keep it together. Some of it is worth trying to hold things to where you think they should be, and some of it is just exploratory action, trying to find out who this person is and if that person is who you want them to be as far as being in your life is concerned.
Yeah, but if you don't accept the person for who they are, you shouldn't want to be in their life if that's not the person
you
want
to
be.
Trying to find out who they are.
And that's the point I was going
to
make.
It's time to find out who they are. And no one living or dead can actually tell you how much time that's going to take because everybody changes at one point in their life.
Yeah. How long is a piece of string?
Well, first of all, I would like to address the gentleman. First of all, if a woman tells me she was a neat freak and she keeps a clean house, I go over her house. See, you are over exaggerating it and over analyzing it.
You're being judgmental.
If a woman tells me that she does not smoke and then I find out she's smoking crack, you want me to say, oh, she was no, she's not being real about herself, bro. And I'm letting you know people can open up. Okay, now you said regular. Okay, listen. Okay, what question do you have for me, sir? Really, there's no right or wrong, because you said I was wrong. What I'm saying, how I handle women, and if I tell you can't say Michael is wrong. No one is Michael wrong, because at the end of the day, all of us going to get off this phone and make love or marry the woman who we want. Bottom line, so ain't no wrong. We just having a dialogue, bro. I'm just letting you know Michael's going to be himself. I'm not going to put on no show for nobody.
This is not the all-fat show. Can we move forward, please?
Okay.
You know, and I want to go back to something Sister Ngoni said, and this is addressing something Michael said. Michael said, you know, if he's in love with someone and he found out they're not the person who he thought he was, the love is over. How do you do that?
Love, wasn't it, Mr. Tall?
Yeah. How do you do that? You know,
are you going to let me respond?
You let me talk? Thank you.
I thought you just asked me a question. You said, how do I do that? I'll let you know.
Rhetorical, Michael.
Okay. Now, anyway. And you know what, Michael? Here, take this, too. God dang it. All right. Anyway. Now, as I was saying, you know, when you truly love someone, and regardless, you have to accept them for who they are. Because there's individuals that have been together for 40, 50 years, and they still don't know everything about each other. They would like to think so, and most of them will tell you that. I still don't know who I'm married to, but I have an idea. And they have accepted, because everybody has certain quirks and things that's just part of them. You know, so if you quickly to say, well, you're not as neat as I thought you was. I don't love you no more. I got to go. That is a symbol right there of what's wrong with society today and why there is many people don't consider love making an art, because they don't understand that that goes along with everything as far as loving someone, being with someone.
Well, first of all, if you say you love someone, then you accept them for who they are, not who you think they should be.
Right.
That's number one. And you know that that person is going to evolve and change and grow, hopefully, if you decide to be with each other. So you're going into a situation where you can't, there's no black and white plan that you can go by, because it's like life, you know? It's growing, it's expanding, hopefully.
Hello.
Yes,
this is nothing against Michael. But if you can turn love on and off like a light switch, it's not love.
Mm-hmm.
There is a black and white plan. You just look at their mama and grandmama.
Nah, well, you know, I respect what you're saying, but what I'm trying to express is that you can have a plan in many facets of your life, but the plan don't always go exactly like you planned it. So
absolutely.
Therefore, I'm saying when you're in a relationship, you should be open to explore and learn that person, because they're not going to be the same person they were when you first met them 5-10 years. Hopefully they won't be. Hopefully they'll be growing and learning what life is all about and learning how to love properly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good point.
And over time, people do develop into, I think, sometimes greater people than they started out. As, you know, with age, you get the maturity, the learning, the understanding, you know, the empathy, the forgiveness. Some of the stuff that we really struggle with when we're much younger are things that we kind of almost neatly fall into as we get older. And I think that's because, you know, you just understand life more because you have been through more experiences. And
well,
I think,
you know,
you get
humility. I don't know. You get that.
You know, this
yeah.
is why a lot of women get into relationships with men, right? And these men turn on them and beat them up. And they say, oh, my God, he wasn't like that. I didn't know him. See, I'm listening to y'all. But y'all trying to prove Mike wrong. We're talking about the
hell with you. Ain't nobody trying to prove you wrong.
If a woman, if I fell in someone who I didn't know smoked a crack, and then I found smoke crack, then you're going to say, oh, I got to have children with this woman again. She lied to me. I'm not going to say I'm not going to love her. I'm not going to go and try to have a future with her or marry my wife until she get her stuff together, because she lied to me. I'm just saying, at the end of the day,
you ain't got to keep going on. You carry things to the extreme. Now, hey, if somebody lies to you about
this is why these women are dealing with these men.
Man, go ahead, bro.
Well, why do we have to do a criminal check on people? You have to find out who people are. And if some people don't want to be themselves, if they're not comfortable being with themselves, go back.
Why do you do a criminal check on? What are you talking about?
No, we always talk about. Listen, if
who
I had
we?
A daughter, huh?
Oh, now we didn't wait
go,
for
go
you.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Six,
yeah,
if
now,
I had
now
thought.
If you had a daughter.
Okay. All right. What I'm trying to say is, bottom line, you better find out who you're dealing with. And if you fall in love with someone who was playing a role and they change, I'm letting you know, who do you fall in love with, the representative or the real person? That's all. I want to fall in love with the real person. That's all. And
like I told you about yourself, and now I'm talking about you specifically. You said out of your own mouth, you wasn't but, 20, 21 years old when you got married? You didn't know who the hell you were. You didn't know a damn thing about real life. You were still a child, in the sense of being a young man, a young adult. As far as life is concerned right now, the decisions
see, now
that you would have made,
Hold up, let me explain myself. No, I talked about my life, and you're not going to get on this national airwaves and distort what I said. I said I got married was 20. I said the reason why I got divorced, because I still have the same old traditional concepts like
but
people
it.
Do. The
you
man
can,
is the
you
leader.
Can say whatever
he has the
yeah,
last say. The woman is underneath
you
of them.
Say
that's why when I was 20,
to.
My mind was corrupted, bro. That's why
like
I don't
said,
distort my
bro,
life, bro.
If at 20 years old, I don't give a damn who you are at 20 years old. You have no idea who you will be at 40 when you're 20 years old. So all that, I didn't.
I did.
Man, go ahead with all that foolishness. And you, Bianca, you didn't think what you're doing right now, you would have been doing the same thing when you was 20. So don't let's just stay up.
Well, what do you say? What I'm doing right now? I do. There are people at the age of 21 that are very solid in their thinking, and so on.
Okay.
You're just 34. Look how solid you are.
I'm 38.
Wait. Okay, hold up. Dang it, y'all have gone on this other side of the world again. All right. Now, let's get back to this thing here. So, we already know what Michael feel like, even though he talks in the third person. So I guess it's two of them. So,
yeah.
So what is our take on the romance side of it? You know, I don't want to hear nothing about, you know, knowing somebody. We didn't got to that part already. So what does it take? And I'm going to ask the ladies first. In your opinion, what does it take to make you feel special and romantic, you know, from a mate?
You're supposed to feel special within yourself already and not be looking out for yourself for that. Now, treating each other with gifts, with affirmations, all of that is part of being in a relationship. But if you're looking for yourself inside of somebody else, you're going to get disappointed every time.
Okay. Ladies, Antoine, Ebony, any?
Okay, here's something else. I agree with
Joe,
yeah.
Wait a minute. You're not a lady.
Yeah.
I hope not. Not with a deep voice like that.
Yeah.
Ebony, you got anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I think, sorry Joe, I was off to speak. I wanted to say that to really the art of lovemaking, I think, starts with the mind. And I think if you really want to check in with someone and you want to hold some solid ground, you know, and I don't believe in all aspects of love, as it were, because sometimes people, base that strictly on emotions and whatever, and it can get all a bit, you know, and I can do that too. That can be my stuff. But I think the real art of lovemaking is connecting with the mind. And I think when you connect with someone's mind and, you know, you have that real sort of, you're able to be honest and free with that person. The other aspects come into line, you know, like ducks in a row. They line up very easily. Because once I can connect with you and I totally trust you, and I trust you, the trust is important, then I trust you to share anything with you. And that includes my body. I mean, you know, I'm going to share aspects of my body, and I'll do stuff maybe I will never do with anyone else, but you know it's because you're plugged in to my heart, and I think then, you know, whatever happens between us will be a reflection of that, and that's what it is. And I think sometimes the body can let you down. I think as you get older, you find that you're not like you were when you were sort of 19 or 20 years old. Things do stop working. I think that's when the connection is even more important, because then you need to be at that part in your life where you can be really honest with that person. And you know, not everybody and not everything can be fixed, and we totally get that. But I think when you can share honestly, that person can help you. And or that person can, you know, if they decide they don't want to help and it's all about that, then maybe they're the wrong person for you. But I think maybe you'll also be inspired to want to work on yourself and help yourself to be the best that you can be. And that may mean you need to go see someone and get support to be the best you can be in the lovemaking. But essentially the love will be the heart stuff. But the physical stuff should also follow. And for some people, it's very important, the physical stuff. But for me, the physical and the mental and the spiritual is really important. And when you've got those three, hey, that's the greatest form of lovemaking you can ever have.
That's heaven.
Hey, Ebony.
That's heaven.
Hey, yeah. Ebony. That guy you talking about marrying over there in the UK, he's gonna leave your ass. I can just feel it.
Really?
You know what, Pianki? Okay. Anyway,
I don't know if he's bringing all this negativity to the show. But that craziness.
Well, it's Bianca, isn't it? So, geez,
yeah.
It's being weird.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I know. All right, fellas, time for you to weigh in. What do you think about? Anybody? Gentlemen?
Eric, I want to throw a twist in there.
What kind of twist?
Well, I want to know what would the expectations be to if a person didn't have all these luxuries that we have right now in order to keep the spark in the relationship. Say you was trapped on an island or something, somewhere where, like I said, you didn't have television, you didn't have movies, you didn't have all that stuff. What would it take then to keep the spark in the relationship?
Well, that's when your mind is really important, isn't it? That's when how creative you can be with your mind will be put to the test, because, if you can communicate with someone and you have, the ability to think in a deep way, you can fill those gaps of a lot of things, because the communication will take over. You don't need a TV. Actually, a TV speaks at you. It's not communicating with you. It's actually people having in their own world, having a conversation in front of you. You're not integrated into that. You're not plugged in. It's not like BTR where you're calling in and you're actually having a conversation. You're just listening to stuff. So I think you're never alone when you're with someone who knows how to communicate and connect with you.
Okay, now my next thing is, do you think that would be the best way to really get to know and find out who you're dealing with, and if you're going to be able to deal with them is by taking to take away all that extra stuff and just go out on a bare relationship, a bare date where, we ain't doing all this, we're just going to go out, and we're gonna take sandwiches with us, and we're just going to take everything else off around and see how well we can entertain one another.
So basically what Joe is saying all the time.
Well, that may be, a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea.
You don't have the distractions of the world, and you can really hear that person. And I think, you can really listen to that person as well, and they can listen to you and hear whether your heart fits with each other. Because I think sometimes people tell a story about what they want the life to be between them and someone else. You create your own story, and you're hoping that person will mirror the story that you have in your own mind about what you want. Okay?
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say one thing.
Yeah.
And I hope no one takes offense to this, but the whore will say that that's not good enough.
Yeah.
The woman that doesn't have an idle mind enough to say, well, hey, I want to go out and enjoy this person and enjoy the conversation.
Now, wait a minute. I mean, couldn't you have made that point without saying the whore?
I mean, now, come on. You're trying to meet somebody and you're trying to feel them out and they're trying to feel you out, but you need to take me to Red Lobster. I need this, and you're not going to get the same thing they're explaining right now with that person.
Well, yeah, and you're in the wrong place, so you just move on.
That's I'm just throwing that in there. That's all I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I guess, Lo, don't make that woman bad because she doesn't want to do some of the things that you may want to do. She may not just be at that place yet where she understands what you're trying to achieve. What you're looking for out there is someone who gets the vision for what you want in your life, okay? It doesn't mean that they have to agree with everything, but if they have a vision and they have, which is similar to your vision, there's some form of alignment between you. It might not be perfect, but it may be just that they see something greater than where they are right now. That gives you a chance to work, in a direction together. It gives you something to work from. I mean, my parents have been married 59 years, right? And it was my mom's birthday yesterday. Today, she was 80, but we had a party on Sunday for her. And one of the things that my dad said in his speech about her was that, you know, my mom wasn't the most beautiful woman in the world to him when he first met her. And he was saying, you know, he's being honest, you know, she wasn't, he was a guy out there, very good looking, and there were a million and one women that caught his eye. But what he liked about my mom was that she shared a vision for the future that he had. You know, she wanted mm-hmm. to have children. She wanted to build a home. She wanted her children to go to university and to do very well. She was someone who read books. And although they were in a small town where, you know, they didn't have money and, you know, he couldn't promise her the world, she already had the world in her eyes. Do you get what I'm saying? She knew what right. she wanted. And that set the foundation for 59 years of development. You know, and he says, you know, it's still not complete because he still feels there's more, that they've got more time, and the more time they have, the more they can still do together. And I think that's what it's about. You know, you've got to find someone who's got the vision, a vision for life that you can share. And if they have a vision, you've got something to work on, and you just keep working every day. And as you evolve, it becomes greater and greater.
Let me address
right,
that ideology.
But if they state their vision and they don't do what they're supposed to do, then we have a problem.
Oh,
what if
they
want to go into business and then all of a sudden you want to sit home all day? Right.
Where did that part come from? What, Michael, why are you doing that?
Well, no, with that vision comes action. That's what I'm saying. Vision comes action because I'm saying, you know, at the dinner table, you know what, I'll be quiet, man.
Thank you.
I'll be quiet.
Okay.
I agree with you, Ebony.
I do hear what Mike
exactly
said.
Let me
put that little fly in the ointment
no
here, okay?
Obviously, Michael, the action came in the 59 years of marriage.
Yeah.
All right, here's something else I wanted to add. Because when Lo was talking about the whore, I was agreeing with him. Because there's a double standard today. And Ebony adroitly switched away from that and made it ideological, okay? When a woman says, I'm your equal and I'm independent, and they're trying to, obnoxiously a lot of the times, trying to make sure that you recognize this, but when it comes time for them to actually put up or shut up, they don't do it. So when Lo was talking about the whore, he was talking about financially. And that's something which is a big, big bugaboo with women. Ideologically,
are you talking
mental.
About gold diggers, Joe?
I'm talking about the average chick, okay? Not just gold diggers. I'm not talking about groupies that you see on TV. I'm talking about females who say, yes, I'm your equal, and yes, you should treat me as your equal. Oh, okay, cool. Again, I'm going to go back to the proof is in the pudding. So, how would you like to go out? Sure. Okay. Should we go Dutch? No. Why? Well, I'm traditional.
Mm-mm.
You can't keep switching back and forth.
Good
okay,
point.
You're confusing
Good
men.
Point. Good point.
Well, I don't know if it's that simple, Joe, and it's just about whether a woman pays or she doesn't pay. I think, it can be that if that's part of your package and what makes you believe that person shares
well,
your vision. But I think the vision's deeper than that. You know, it's about the vision for the future. And, you know, financially, that person, if that person has your interests at heart and you don't have the money and they're prepared to share.
I didn't
share.
Say anything about not having the money. I'm talking about a woman who's bragging about I am strong and independent and I'm your equal and they have the money.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay.
I don't mind speaking from my own personal life experiences, but Mr. Talk can tell you, anybody that's been in the military can tell you, when me and my wife met, we were lower enlisted, and we didn't have the hell, lower enlisted don't make money in the military. And, you know, we had to, you know, do the dating thing and all of this and all of that. And, hey, you know, sometime I paid, sometimes she paid, whatever the case was. But as time progressed through, you know, he likes to hang out with his friends and this and that. He likes to watch football with them on Sundays and everybody get together, this and that, to the point now where he doesn't really care about football anymore. And, you know, we enjoy that time together. That's the part where it becomes the work part, because you will always be a work in progress. The day you die, will be the progression complete.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you decide to say, well, hey, my mind frame in my 20s was exactly who I should have been in my 30s or 40s, then you haven't progressed at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one thing.
A few minutes back, man, I don't give a damn about your life, bruh.
Oh, no. Don't talk about my life. How dare you contradict yourself?
I don't care anything about your life.
Listen, I did not have to
deal with you and your life. Like
wow, look how you are. See, listen, I don't have to get on these airways, and when I...
Okay, we'll let them discuss that in the green room. I got somebody else with their hand up. Oh, well, let's see. Area code 438. Area code 438. Welcome to the show. Hello. Are we having difficulties?
Hello, Mr. Talker.
Hello.
Stanley, how are you guys?
Greetings.
We're doing fine, Stanley. How are you?
Not bad.
Right?
So paying attention to detail is asking questions and maybe trying to seek and find something and be and watching and observe. That's all I'm saying. Observe what she makes like or asking things of that nature. Pay attention to detail when you're making love to her.
I thought
so,
Stanley was talking.
That's all I wanted to say.
I did too. Stanley?
I just want to ask a question because I'm hearing what Ebony's saying, that her father decided not to marry the best candidate and everything, but she had something to bring this and that and everything. I want to ask because last time we had a debate about that. Do you think is it wrong for a man or a woman to try to get the best thing that they can physically, emotionally, in every way possible, or is it shallow, or you can't always get what you want, like a lot of people say?
Well,
is it better for a man to go get everything that he wants physically and everything, or is it better to settle, which a lot of people do in marriage?
I've experienced that. That's very, very, I think that's the wrong thing for anybody to do.
Nobody's settling. I think that, Stanley,
what do you mean nobody's settling? Anybody's ever settled in their life with someone that makes
there's a lot of people settle, Ebony.
Did she answer the
question that he's asking me, right? The question that he was asking was about, you know, should you go for the very best or, you know, that you can get? And I'm saying everybody goes for the very best that they can get. I think most of the time we pick the person that we think we're attracted to. We find out we want that person to be sexy. We want all those other things. What I'm saying is sometimes when you're looking for a life partner, it's not that you're settling. You're saying, well, you know what? Sometimes everybody doesn't have 90 or 100% of what I might see out there and I might be lusting after, okay? So I might be looking for the woman with the booty and the this and the that and the that. I might not find that all that with this person, but what I find is something that I can, a work in progress that I can work with to a high level, and that can probably sustain me for the rest of my life. So some of those things that you look at are things that are only about, you know, the now, because in 10 years' time, that person who is the, you know, the Coca-Cola will change, right? People change all the time. They get older.
All right, somebody need to mute themselves.
You say people change overnight.
I said over time, people change. And so what do you think is the ideal person? Right now,
is my mic open, Eric?
Yes, indeed. Nothing wrong with that.
But Ebony, I truly believe that too many people do settle in the marriage. Go ahead.
Boy down the street from me, he ain't done with a lot of his stuff yet. Yeah, he messing with
himself. Hey, Lo, if you don't care about my life, don't bring up my life on these airways, bro. See, you the reason why you don't open
what?
Up. And...
I'm gonna have to go,
right,
guys.
Enough of that. Okay. All right,
exactly.
Ebony, thank you for stopping by. All right,
no
go ahead, Pianki. Where you at? Go ahead, Pianki. You want to say something?
People do settle, especially if you got children involved.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why when Stanley asked the question, I said that you shouldn't settle.
But so many people do.
Well, it's true.
People.
But see, that's what we said earlier. You know, you can't really answer these questions unless you experience them. I experienced it, so I know for me, it's not good to settle.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing for me, too. I've settled many times with women that I should have never settled because I said, I went to the thing that a lot of people said, which, oh, she is great inside and look at the inside and forget about the outside. Even if she has a problem with weight, that's not so important. You're being shallow, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sorry to say, that's not being shallow also.
Well, see, you had your own experience with that, and I think all of our experiences are just for the purpose of us growing and evolving while we're moving through life and trying to be better persons.
And as a partner or a person in a relationship, is it good to always see the honest truth to your partner, or is it better to keep it to yourself and not let the rock, the bottle, let they say the both rock, like a lot of people say in a couple? I feel a lot of couples don't say everything that they need to say. They just say, oh, I'm not going to say that to my woman, or I'm not going to say that to my man because I don't want to disturb the relationship though, how it is.
Well, I think people look at it from different ways. Some people say there should be spaces. I mean, you know, I think love is freedom. And, I mean, you should be honest about who you are, but I don't think you're obligated to say everything that you have in your mind and heart to someone. I mean, you know, you have a right to have some things to yourself about yourself. That's not hiding yourself. I don't mean being dishonest. I don't mean it in that way, you know, about certain things. But if I understood you correctly, maybe I didn't understand it.
No, I feel go ahead. Let's say you have a problem on the relationship with your partner. It could be financially, it could be health-wise, it could be things. Is it better for you to keep it for yourself because you don't want to basically, a lot of people feel like, I don't want to rock the boat, I don't want to hurt my partner, I don't want to do this, and you keep it for yourself.
No, I think you should be honest about those kind of things. If you're going to be in a relationship with someone, you have health issues, then that would be hiding things. I don't know. I think that you should be open and honest about those kind of things. I thought you meant
to say
yourself, exactly.
They don't say whether they on the down low.
What?
Wow, I never been.
Man, mute him. Oh, my God. Shoot him. Golly.
Really?
That's pretty hockey.
Hey, absolutely.
I want to be marrying somebody
that was on the down low. Look at all the ramifications that they bring into the picture and expose you to.
So, Bianca, you're saying if my wife goes out and gets pregnant by another man, I should just settle for that and not get a divorce? I'm just thinking hypothetically. You said we should settle.
Where are you coming from with that? What are you talking about?
No, Bianca made a statement that people should settle when they have kids involved. So you're saying that if I go,
if I have kids
with my wife and I go and get three and four other women pregnant, you saying my first wife that I already have kids should just settle and just live up to it when she knows she's
going to have
a man?
No, I was talking about
like
normal
that.
Circumstances where you and your wife would have children.
Right.
Right.
I got
like I said, he got to take everything way over the North Field.
Yeah.
Having a man on the side. I mean, some people settle.
We're talking about wholesome people and not the whores right now. We're talking about people
You know what? Excuse me.
You see how you attacked me?
I'm not attacking you.
You attacked me. Yes, you did. You said about me, Mary Sweat, and then now you refer that I deal with whores.
We are not talking about the people that are not looking for a meaningful relationship. We're talking about the ones that possibly are. And, you know, I'm going to say this. I told you before, Stanley, whether you like it or not, partner, and I'm not bragging, but I'm sure I've seen more women than you have. When it all boils down, when you're looking at TV and you're thinking about this Kardashian trick and this and that person and saying, well, hey, you should look like this. Your weight should be like that. You're going to limit yourself, man, and you find yourself by yourself.
Why am I going to limit myself if I'm not – if I'm with somebody who's great and everything and I see the potential of that person to being – physically fit or anything, financial and everything, is it not my duty as a partner to tell her the truth? Same way as her, if she sees my potential of being having a higher salary or this and that, is it not her duty as a wife or a girlfriend to tell me the truth and say, this is your potential? Now, I can settle.
Don't ask me 10 questions and then give me an answer. First and foremost, if I'm in my career and I love my career, to hell with how you think and to hell with what you think I should have.
Okay.
And that's how you should feel when you go to say, hey, you know what, possibly I could dig her and we could
build a nice little Stanley Empire together. And
okay.
the first thing you want to, hey, Dave, your weight, you know, this and that, that and this. You wasn't concerned about that in the beginning. You wasn't concerned about the foolishness and the vain part of it all in the beginning, because what attracted you the most was and should have been was this person was treating you right and
of
you
course.
Felt fulfilled
oh.
with them. But yeah, when you go to
are you saying though that people don't have preferences for people
I'm
that
not,
attracted to? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is we should take our focus off of Kim Kardashian and the rest of those people and put our focus on reality. The reality is, hey, I could have an 8-pack abs and all these 22-inch biceps and a 2-inch mm-hmm. penis. So I haven't fulfilled my woman. So mm-hmm. all these things that we feel that we fulfilled in, okay, I'm good with this, I'm good with that. The woman might think you need something else.
But that's not what I think Stanley was asking.
I'm asking the question that, like you're saying, everything. Let's say the woman does fulfill 80% of what you're looking and everything, and the 10% or the 20% is looks, or for other people it's financial, or other people it's any other subject and everything. Do you think it is shallow in this to tell her the truth? Because she could be fulfilling in everything. Because I feel a lot of people, you know, the cheating and everything is happening because a lot of people are not being real. They don't have the thing that they wanted completely. They have maybe 75% or 80%, but like last 20, they don't have it. And it's being dishonest when people are saying, oh, it's okay, you should take it. Oh, it's okay and this and that. That brings cheating. That brings all this the problem this. And a lot of people are shocked and say, well, that girl was great for you. Yeah, but she didn't
have
this and that.
Wait a minute. All right,
hold
on.
Selfish.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on, because Stanley, I got a question for you. Okay, so it's simple. What do you consider to be romantic or what does it? What do you think it takes to get a woman in your romantical mind? I guess I could say romantical. That's a word, ain't it? But in other words, what you know, and to you, what is romance as far as trying to get a woman?
Being romantic, you mean? Being
yeah.
Okay, in my world, being romantic means being present, being a listening ear, being somebody who's compassionate, being somebody who's passionate, being somebody who cares, being somebody who looks at her through their eyes, being somebody who doesn't judge her. Being somebody who has her back, being somebody who believes in everything that she has and believes her that she could able to see it, being somebody that's honest with her and saying the truth and not sugarcoating things that she needs to improve like she would to you, being respectable over time, being trustworthy, being honest, being
okay.
a guy of character, of integrity.
All right.
You can't
so,
miss nothing you ain't never had.
You got some good stuff there, Mr. Powell.
Huh? That's some good stuff.
That's a lot of good stuff. But on the flip side, when you all of those things, you come back and say, because this lady has had weight problems all of her life, for instance, well, I think that you should do this. Those are decisions that she should make.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree with that. What you're saying.
And for anybody to say, well, I don't want her. She's outside of my weight range or whatever the case. That's being shallow and foolish and selfish. A lot of the things that people see as far as being realistic, as far as, a man have to have this and a woman have to have that. A lot of that's being selfish because, you know, if you decided that, hey, you wanted to do these things as far as school is concerned and you felt compelled to educate yourself this much or that much. Matter of fact, when you say you educate, you're only regurgitating what somebody has taught you. So when you say that, you want to do all these things, that's fine. Other people may not feel compelled to have all of that garbage. So,
But by the same token, if you're not compelled to have those things, you can't ask for the same standard. If you're not compelled to do some stuff, I have no problem somebody improving who I am if she or she makes a good point. But I have a problem when a man tries to improve his girlfriend, and he's not trying to be mean. He's just telling her, this is what I like. You have a lot of things that I like, but this little thing is something that I concern. And a lot of people would say it's shallow. It's not.
If you're in a relationship and she don't clean up behind herself, that's one thing. that's fine.
Yeah, if she doesn't take care of herself, that tells me a lot about her. Period.
Right. That's
well, then
one
you shouldn't
thing.
Be
that's
with
fine.
Her if she's not someone that fits your qualifications. You shouldn't be with her. If you are with her, you should have accepted her for who she is.
Yeah, but then, like you said, it's the 80-20 rule. It's the 80-20 rule. She could be 80% of what you want. And then let's say you do the other thing, which is the 20%, and she could not have a lot of things. A lot of pretty women doesn't have the kindness and everything.
But what if she
well, then you should be with that person.
What if she stay in the bathroom 3 hours after laying up with you? What did that tell you?
That would tell me that she's self-conscious of everything about herself. That's what it would tell me. I wouldn't want a woman like that. She got to put all this makeup on and all this fake crap. I wouldn't want a woman like that.
And what does it tell you if you have the contrary? A woman is always looking at herself and saying, am I looking fine? Am I looking this? Am I looking that? I can't wear this. I can't wear that. And she's denying yourself, and you're basically her man and everything. What are you supposed to do? Tell her, sugarcoat her things like she gained weight? She gained weight.
You ask her a question. Do you not feel comfortable with what you're wearing?
She will never tell you the truth about that.
Okay,
she expects you as a man to tell her that's what she wants to hear.
We're not talking about that. What you do is you ask her, do you not feel comfortable with that on? If she say yes, then tell her, hey, well, stop asking me because I haven't said anything about it. I like what I see. So are you trying to impress somebody else? Period.
All right.
Simple, man. People make it hard, bro. I'm going to tell you straight up.
It's just
me
that
and my
simple,
wife,
huh?
while I was on the phone, we was making love. And the way I mean that is we were in the kitchen. I was cutting up onions. She was preparing the other portion of the soup and all of these things that come with it. That was a portion of our making love.
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I left from my cozy fireplace to come to this daggum store and get some more damn tortillas. So that's making love. All this, nice hair and look at her eyes and all that foolishness and it. You'll wind up with somebody that you don't want to be with or that you shouldn't be with because if you go and I look for those things.
And that's why it requires honesty to know what you want and accept someone as they are and not try to change
right.
them into somebody else.
Else.
Right.
Yep.
Do them a favor.
Right.
Leave them alone.
But since when is changing somebody for somebody else if you're concerned about their health or if you're concerned about the financial? So basically you're saying that you should be a partner and get somebody that if you see him or her crashing in front of you, you should just say,
don't do that, Stanley. What I said was you should be with someone you can accept for who they are and not have all these images in your head that you need to change this about them and that about them and this, and they got 80%, but they don't have 20%. You haven't accepted that person for who they are, and you have to understand that if you decide to be in a relationship with them over a period of time, that you're both going to change. So now, if you love someone for who they are and they gain weight down the road and all of a sudden you can't stand them, you're repulsed, then you didn't love that person. That's what I'm saying.
Good point.
And isn't that putting unnecessary pressure on yourself?
Well, I think
looking
for all the wrong things in the wrong places.
Right.
You start with self. And if
all
you love
of that foolishness, I didn't mean to cut you off. All of that foolishness like that, that's high school and college foolishness. That's all it is.
Right.
That's coming from the head.
That's not having the head and the heart connected. When you know what you want in life and you're looking for someone going your way, and if they're not, you can't force it.
Right.
So you have to accept someone that's going your way. And if they're not, I don't care how good they look or how intelligent they are, they're not going your way.
Right. I remember when we first started dating, I was 189 pounds, 6'2", ran 10 miles, call cadence the whole way, all of that stuff. Now, I'm still 6'2", unless I start shrinking. I'm 235, and the 2 weeks it would take me straight to get back to my fighting weight, as it's called, it would take me my whole lifetime now. And you know what? I don't have any of the worries or cares as far as this woman saying, oh, this or oh, that or whatever the case may be, because it's about more to life than that little part of the vanity. You know, they got a lot of people on TV that's perfect as far as perfect abs and perfect ass and all of these things, but they're miserable in their life. Their real life.
And I agree with you. There's a lot of people also who has what you're saying, and they're miserable because they don't care. They don't take care of their temple. If you don't take care of your temple, that tells me a lot about you, also.
Well, a person could love what the woman once was, but these points also play out to the male, too.
Exactly.
She could have
plays
loved
out to
what
both
the male once was.
Yeah, it plays out to both
right.
genders. I'm not saying it's just men. I'm not saying just women. It goes to both genders.
Right.
If you don't take
that's
care of your own temple, what the hell does it tell about you?
Well,
that's
if
why
you,
I say you have to look at the mother and grandmother.
If you run into someone, Stanley, who's not taking care of their temple, then you shouldn't be with that person. You
right.
can't do it for them. They have to do it for themselves. They have to take care of their temple because they love themselves. And you
right.
can't love anybody else until you love yourself.
How old are you?
Yeah,
think?
But how do you know that? I mean, until you get ready to go to bed. You get ready to go to the bed, you're tripping over a pair of booty pads. You got some bird wing eyelashes on the dresser. You got some weeds sitting on the toilet that scare you out of your wits when you go in there.
But like I said, how old are you right now, Stan? And this isn't about you. How old are you right now?
35 years old.
You're 35 years old. And truth be told, the woman that you would consider to be perfect for you will be 23 years old. And the thing about that scares me the most is she really wouldn't want you other than for the money that you could give her because you're too old for her. And that's the truth. So if you want somebody that's around your age, that's already beyond the point of having children and gaining the weight that comes with having children and struggling with that weight after having children, all those things, find yourself a woman that's almost 50 years old that still looks good and that's in good shape, and you won't have to worry about all those things that you hold so much to be in opposition to what you would want. Weight, you wouldn't have to worry about that. If she's already that old, 9 times out of 10, she's not just going to blow up all of a sudden. So,
yeah, but before we dance, wait. We live in a nation that's basically accepting that like it's a normal lead, then before we didn't. We used to be a nation that used to take care of each other in each temple. We didn't have the overweight thing. We have 70%, we have 45% of people, black women, who are overweight. We have an emergency of people getting overweight less. We have more people in America getting more and more overweight. And we're acting like it's perfectly normal, and it's perfectly okay, and we should all accept it like it's like Yuppie Dye Day.
Well, partner, you're doing the same thing your other partners
do. I'm not part of those times. I take care of my temple every day.
I'm not talking about you. What I'm saying is you coming up with these statistics. Who were they actually going out and running these numbers off of? Did they go to a certain demographic of people specifically or wide range? Did they go?
Yeah, no,
the
they
black
went
women
to,
also,
they went
the,
to
also
demographic.
The black women. Also, the black women that go to the gyms and that's battling with their weight every day that was a size 6, but they had kids and now they're size 14. Did they go to those people? No. They went to the ones that take their children to McDonald's all the time and the ones that eat all this garbage all the time, and that's where their numbers came from. And you talk about the past. In past times, we didn't eat out all the time either. We ate at the house. So all of these things, what you're talking about, plays into the whole situation, bro. It's not just about what.
Are you telling me we're not a nation that you we're not getting fatter and fatter as a nation?
Okay, hold on, wait. All right, hold on, just wait. We ain't talking about the nation getting fatter and all that. So no, we're not doing that.
To get with the whole nation, he's gonna try to get with one woman.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Fine.
Right.
If I'm talking about why is it that if you want somebody, taking care of your health is very important, I think, for every human being. If you do not take care of your health, what kind of education are you going to bring to your child? What kind of education you bring to the family? What kind of your health is the most important thing, because if tomorrow, I don't care how rich you are, if tomorrow I take your health, you're done in this world.
That's why you have to pick someone, Stanley, that has the same values you have about taking care of their temple and about being the person that you are looking for to share your love with. That's all you have to do. But then when you find that person, you have to accept them for who they are and not try to change them into some image you have in your head of the woman that you want.
I know. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We've we have had quite the conversation. We've been over here and over there and over here. So,
That's normal for us, isn't it, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. Of course it is. Of course it is. It's just amazing. No matter what we talk about, we always end up on the male-female person, the dynamic. And, oh, Lord have mercy. I see why there's so many issues with relationships. I really do. But we before I leave, I'm going to let y'all get y'all last words in because I know some of y'all are going to go over to Ebony's show. So we're going to start with Michael. All right, Michael, your last word, sir.
Well, yeah, guys. If I don't see y'all, y'all have a nice holiday. If I don't hear from y'all, y'all have a nice holiday. But, you know, to each his own. We were talking, but let's stay on the topic about lovemaking, about having the proper lovemaking. You got to pay attention to detail, just like an artist. Pay attention to your woman. Pay attention to your man. Okay, I'm not going to go, Mr. Talk, if you notice, I did not change the subject. Other people came on your show and changed the subject. They always want to blame me. But the art of lovemaking is pay attention to detail. Get some information, and you have to have some type of creativity. But an artist is never, if you know an artist, if you ask Jay-Z, if you ask any singer, if you ask a painter, they will tell you that that art is not hard to them. It comes like water. Nothing is hard to an artist. So I'm letting you know, if you got to work on your relationships, if you got to be going through ups and downs and struggles and you feel like it's hard work, it's not flowing like an artist. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Y'all have a nice one. But I just want to say, don't distort. When someone opens up their life, don't distort what they say, man. Okay? Don't distort what they say. You have a nice.
All right. Thank you, Michael. All right. Stanley, you up.
The thing I would say is don't take for granted the people that shares your life. I would add, like, really to go get, go get the best person you want in your life. Don't settle. Too many people do. Too many people do in the couple. And I have to agree, if it gets too complicated on the relationship, then you really need to look at yourself and say, hey, maybe I need to be with somebody else.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. And you have a good one. And Pianki.
Well, if I was in a young man's shoes, I would learn how to prepare rabbit gravy and rice with big, big biscuits for my date and sit back and enjoy her as she smack her lips and taste that elephant cuisine. That's what I would do, Eric.
Well, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You have a good day, too. Oh, Lord have mercy. Always on the left side of the road. Always. Oh, Lord. All right, well, that's it for us. Sister Ngoni, I tell you, we've had a lot. And you know what? The more I listen to what everyone had to say, I think I have to agree with you now. I really do. You know, it all starts within.
Yeah, and I want to say something here. I think the art of lovemaking is when you do your best to be a loving, sentient being, not with just your partner, but with every living being that you encounter. And you know happiness is when you realize that no one else can make you happy. And when you experience love coming out of you, when you're giving, when you're serving, that's when you find happiness. When you're seeking and you're trying to get love out there, you usually get disappointed. That's what I have to say about it.
Okay. All right. And I agree with you. I agree with you. After listening to what I just listened to, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I heard a lot of you know, demands, lists of qualities and so forth and so on. My goodness, I didn't hear anybody talking about giving love, just getting the right person with the right weight and the right this and the right that. I mean, I know. Come on. We all have certain, you know, preferences as people that we find attractive. I mean, I think that's honest. But, you know, if you have all these things before you even connect your heart chakra, you know what I'm saying? My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, I don't know. That's not called love making. That's called making a business deal or something. I don't know what it is.
Whatever it is, it's just downright crazy. That's for sure.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Too complicated.
Mm-mm.
Too complicated.
Wow. Too complicated is right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tomorrow's show, y'all, is 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. And we're going to have, call it Wildin' Out Wednesday. Just open conversation. We're going to let y'all go out as only y'all can go out.
Wilding.
Yes, because, yeah, you know, and that will be the last show of the week. But, Lord have mercy. You know, it's amazing, though, how no matter what you try and get over, you know, you always have those individuals that come in and just carry a conversation somewhere else. You know, no matter how well the conversation is going, and you know, that really bothers me. You know, it's like they just come in for just that specific reason. You know?
Well, perhaps they're not invested in the topic, and maybe they're, you know, that doesn't suit their fancy for the day, or, well, you know, I don't know.
Well, they just need to sit back and listen then.
Yeah, I agree. It would be nice, yeah. But...
And here's the reason why I say that, because you never know who's out there listening that may actually learn something, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. or realize something else is going on, you know, something they're missing that may hit them, you know, that may be said during the conversation. But if
I heard a lot of good feedback from a lot of people, you know, a lot of
mm-hmm.
people had good insight into the topic. And
right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we got coming talking about booty pads and all, and oh Lord, wake and then well. Anyway, well, that's gonna do it.
well.
I get a frustration in my voice right now.
Yes, but it's, you know.
Yeah,
we'll get
it's all
there.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. But anyway, all right, y'all. We gonna get up out of here. Y'all have a good Tuesday night, and we see y'all tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time for Wildin' Out Wednesday. Until tomorrow, y'all, we out. Bye.
Thanks for being here.
What?